The first reading this morning is taken from Psalm 107, verses 23 to 32, and can be found on page 507 in the Church Bibles. That's Psalm 107, starting to read at verse 23. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from Matthew, chapter 8, verses 23 to 34, which is on page 813 of the Bibles. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 23. And when Jesus got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" And then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even winds and sea obey him?" And when he came to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men met him, coming out of the tombs, so fierce that no one could pass that way. And behold, they cried out, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now a herd of many pigs was feeding at some distance from them, and the demons begged him, saying, "If you cast us out, send us away into the herd of pigs." And he said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs. And behold, the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the waters. But the herdsmen fled. And going into the city, they told everything, especially what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And behold, all the city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to leave their region. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. If you've got your Bible with you, it'd be good if you could keep it open at that passage that we've just had read from Matthew chapter 8. I think I've told some of you the story before about my first night in Knutsford. It was about 8 years ago now, and I just moved into this new flat, and I was sitting on a sofa in what was otherwise an empty home, and I could not believe the noise. I thought it was a UFO about to descend upon my rooftop. And this happened every 10 or 15 minutes or so. I soon realised that these were the airplanes flying overhead, and I could not believe it. I sat there thinking, why did I buy a flat on the flight path into Manchester Airport? I have to say, though, that within a very short space of time, I became so used to these aeroplanes flying overhead that I genuinely didn't notice them anymore. I didn't notice them at all. And sometimes I think that some of these stories in the Bible can be a little bit like that as well. That over the years we've become so familiar with them that maybe they don't have the effect that they once had when we first heard them. This account that we read this morning could certainly be put into that category. Jesus calming the storm and casting out the demons. It's a remarkable story, isn't it? And yet over the years we've probably heard it so many times we've become quite familiar with it. We've become quite used to it to the point where it doesn't have the same effect on us anymore. Or perhaps we start to draw some of the wrong applications from this story. You know, Jesus calmed the storm here in this story, and he can calm the storm in our lives as well. And although I certainly believe that to be true, I don't think that that is the main point of our passage this morning. You see, whenever the gospel writers tell us about the miracles of Jesus, they're telling us about who he really is. They're inviting us to ask the question, who is this man? Who is this man Jesus, and do I trust him? So let's consider these things as we look at Matthew chapter 8 this morning. But before we do, let's bow our head in a word of prayer. Father, we give you thanks for this opportunity that we have to meet together this morning. We thank you for the great truths that are contained in the songs that we sang this morning. But Father, we thank you that your word tells us that you inhabit the praises of your people. So we give you thanks for your presence here amongst us this morning. And as we turn to your word now, we thank you for the scriptures. I thank you for the privilege that it is to preach from your word. And I pray now that you would help me to speak clearly. Father, I pray for us that we might be challenged and yet encouraged at the same time from what we consider from your word. I pray that through the preaching of your word, it be the Lord Jesus who would be exalted, and that you would receive all the glory. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let me just set the scene for this morning's passage. Jesus has just come down the mountainside from preaching the famous Sermon on the Mount. And if you're familiar with Matthew's gospel, you'll know that he's then healed a man of leprosy. He's then gone on to heal the centurion's servant, and then he's healed Peter's mother-in-law. But in verse 18 of chapter 8, when Jesus sees the crowds, he gives orders to his disciples to cross to the other side of the lake. And that's where we pick things up in the story this morning, with Jesus and his disciples crossing the lake. And then we read that a furious storm came upon the lake. Now I'm told that these big storms are quite a common occurrence in Galilee, but you've got to think that this storm was just a little bit different to what they'd seen before. Because they're in such a state of panic, aren't they, the disciples? It's interesting, at least four of these guys were experienced fishermen. And yet, they're so afraid. They're frightened. But while all this is happening, Jesus is fast asleep on the boat. And the disciples just can't believe that. They cry, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. Mark tells us in his gospel that some of the disciples even said, "Don't you care? Don't you care that we're going to drown?" They're so frightened. But Jesus gets up and he questions their state of panic. He says, "Where is your faith? Why are you afraid?" Then he speaks to the wind and the waves, and we're told it was completely calm. Look at the reaction of the disciples in verse 27. "The men were amazed and asked, 'What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him.'" Matthew says here that the disciples were amazed. Mark tells us in his gospel that they were filled with great fear as they ask, "Who is this man?" Well, who is this man? If you're familiar with Matthew's gospel, then of course you already know who this man is. Because we read in Matthew chapter 3 the account of Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist. And after he's baptized, God says, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." So as readers, we already know who this man Jesus is. He's the Son of God. But the disciples in this moment in time, they're not really sure who Jesus is. What the disciples would have known, though, was their Old Testament. As Jews, they would have been pretty familiar with the Old Testament. And I think it's safe to say that at this point, they would have started putting two and two together. Later on in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus says, "One greater than Jonah is here." And again, whether you have been a regular churchgoer throughout your life or not, I think that's a story you've probably become quite familiar with over the years, the story of Jonah. And it's certainly a story that the disciples would have known well, and I think they would have started to make the connection here. You know, Jonah was asleep on the boat, wasn't he, when the storm was raging? And just as with Jesus here, the other men on the boat came and woke him up. And they asked him to pray to his God that they might be saved. And here, the disciples wake Jesus up during the storm. They want him to do something about it. But then we see the real contrast between the two stories. We see the real contrast between these two men. Because you remember, Jonah was thrown overboard, and then the storm was calmed. Whereas Jesus calls out to the winds and the waves. We're told that he rebukes the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Jesus is indeed greater than Jonah. But as well as being familiar with the story of Jonah, the disciples would have also known the book of Psalms in the Old Testament. And they would have known that psalm that we had read for us this morning, Psalm 107, where it says, "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed." The disciples would have known this psalm. They would have known it well. They would have known that it was only God who had the power and authority to command the wind and the waves. And so here they are in the boat. Picture the scene. They know that this is one greater than Jonah. They know that this man has the power and authority of God himself. And they're asking, "Who is this man? Who is this man, Jesus?" If you're here this morning and you don't consider yourself to be a Christian, that is the main question you've got to ask yourself. The main question is not, "How has the church treated me over the years?" or "What do I think of this person who claims to be a Christian?" They might be important questions to ask, but they're not the central issue. The key question that you've got to ask yourself is, who is this man Jesus? Who is this man Jesus that even the wind and the waves obey him? Now, I'm sure most of you know how Knutsford got its name. Knutsford is named after a Danish king from the 11th century who invaded England, King Canute. And Canutesford, over time, became Knutsford. And I'm sure you're also familiar with the story of King Canute and how he tried to control the wind and the waves, how he tried to hold the tide back. But you know, because of that story, a lot of people think that King Canute was a vain man, that he was quite an arrogant man, when actually the opposite is the case. He was a religious man. He was a God-fearing man. And he'd started to hear this rumour spreading throughout his kingdom that his subjects, his followers, they thought he was so great, they thought he was so powerful that they were saying, I bet he can even control the tide. And so King Canute put this to the test. And he arranged for his throne to be carried down to the seashore, and he sat on his throne as the tide came in. And he stood and he commanded the waves to go no further. And sure enough, the sea inevitably continued to roll in. And it was at that point that King Canute said, let all the world know that the power of kings is empty and worthless, and there is no king worthy of the name except God, by whose will heaven and earth and sea obey eternal laws. You see, he was proving to his subjects, he was proving to his followers that no ordinary man, not even a great king, has power over the wind and the waves. Now you might be sitting there this morning and thinking, well, that's a bit of an obvious point, Stephen. But that's exactly it. It is an obvious point. But maybe you've just never given consideration to who this man Jesus is. Maybe you've never thought of this story and thought, who is this man Jesus? Maybe you are a Christian and you've never thought to share this story with your non-Christian friends or family. If this account in Matthew's gospel is true, and we know that no mortal man can control the wind and the waves, then who is this man? Who is this man, Jesus? It's at this point that Mark tells us in his gospel that the disciples were exceedingly afraid. They were filled with great fear. He says that when the disciples were in the storm, they were afraid. When Jesus calms the storm, the disciples were exceedingly afraid. There's only one thing more terrifying than being in the middle of this great storm, and it's realizing that you're sitting in a boat in the presence of the living God, and are terrified. And really, you see that theme all the way through the Bible. When Job saw God, he said, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and I repent in dust and ashes. When Isaiah saw God, he said, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. When Daniel saw God in Daniel chapter 10, we're told that he began to tremble and he fell with his face to the ground. We're told that he was speechless and helpless in the presence of God. When Simon Peter saw God in Luke chapter 5, he said to Jesus, get away from me. Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinner. When the Apostle Paul saw God on the road to Damascus, he fell with his face to the ground and he was blinded. And here these disciples begin to realise that they're in the boat with God. And just the awesomeness of it was terrifying to them. And so the question really is for us this morning is, we read the Gospels, as we read these accounts, as we maybe begin to realise who Jesus is, how are we going to respond? Are we going to trust him? And that's where there is, in a sense, in every storm, every trial of life, an opportunity for us once again to put our trust in the Lord Jesus. You know, the disciples should have trusted him. That verse again, back in verse 18, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." Now, he wouldn't have said that if he'd meant for them to drown when they were halfway across the lake. But sometimes we get so caught up in the things of life, don't we? We get so caught up in the trials of life that we lose sight of who Jesus really is and what he said. And here the disciples get so caught up in the moment that they really don't have much faith at all. Some of them even ask Jesus if he cared. I wonder if you've ever been through something in life, maybe you're going through something in life now where you've been tempted to ask God, "Do you even care?" Well, look at Jesus' response in verse 26. He says, "Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? Do you not believe in my love for you? Do you not trust in my power?" Those are really the two key things, aren't they? If we believe in God's love and his power, that will really get us through any trial, any storm in life, if you like. Firstly, you know that God cares about you. Secondly, you know that he can handle any situation. That's all we need to know. God loves me, and he has the power to handle this situation. But the disciples were questioning Jesus' love for them. They were questioning his power and ability to get them through this storm. I find that amazing, really. At this point, the disciples have witnessed Jesus perform so many miracles. They've seen him heal so many people. But it's often the case that we can see God at work in other people's lives. And yet when the situation becomes our own, when the trial becomes our own, when the difficulty becomes our own, it's easy to lose sight of who Jesus really is. Faith needs constant strengthening. We need to learn more and more about God's love. We need to learn more and more about his power and authority. That comes from reading his word. The more that you soak up God's word and read of his love and his faithfulness and his grace and his mercy and his power, the more that you pray to God and learn that he is the God who answers prayer, not always in the way that we would like, but he does always answer prayer, then your faith will be strengthened. But as we move into the second part of our passage this morning, we see that not only does Jesus have power over nature, but he also has power over demons. Jesus' encounter with the two demon-possessed men here. Now, these guys were in a really poor state. Again, in Mark's Gospel, we're told that when Jesus asked one man for his name, the demon spoke through the man, and he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now, in the Roman military, a legion could be a group of over 5,000 soldiers. So these two men are possessed by a great number of demons. And when Jesus is met by these two demon-possessed men, look at their response to him. Look at verse 29. "What do you want with us, Son of God?" they shouted. Isn't it interesting that the demons have the answer to the question that the disciples asked in verse 27? After Jesus calms the storm, the disciples were amazed and they asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Who is this man, they're asking? But look where the answer comes from. It doesn't come from the disciples. It comes from the demons. "What do you want with us, Son of God?" And then Jesus once again shows his power, this time power over demons. Back in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus showed that he had the power to resist Satan. He had the power to resist Satan's temptation. But now here in Matthew chapter 8, we see that Jesus has the power to tell Satan and his demons what to do. Jesus has all authority, all power. But you know, when news reaches the town about what Jesus has done, how do they respond? They ask him to leave. In fact, we're told here that they plead with Jesus to leave. Now, why do they do that? The honest answer is that I don't know. I don't know why they ask him to leave. But I do know that in John chapter 3, we read this. This is the verdict. This is the judgment. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. These people were living in darkness. And when Jesus, the light of the world, came into their lives, he exposed their sin. He exposed them for who they really were. They were sinners. Those who do evil hate the light. And so they turn Jesus away. Do you know that's true? When I read through the Gospels, when I read about Jesus, I see him for who he really is. I see his power, his authority, his power over nature, his power over the demons. I see that he is the Son of God, but I also see myself for who I really am, that I'm a sinner. But the good news is the Bible tells us that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So that's the question that we need to ask ourselves this morning as we read this passage, as we read through the Gospels. Who is this man? Who is this man, Jesus? We can respond in one of two ways. You can put your trust in him, or like the people in this story in Matthew 8, you can ask him to leave. May God bless his word to us.